They choose feeling threatened in the beginning, around 1930. Yes, I would say yes. I remember one time Aunt Clemmie, mother's younger sister, and the family came to Gaudenheim, which they visited quite often. And the Nazis were marching, and the girls, Inge and Ruth, were frightened because they'd never seen so many Nazis walking at one time. There were all kinds of things happening. We had two brothers who hadn't talked to one another. Maybe sometimes some, a few things maybe might have been good. Hadn't talked to one another in years. The Nazis took the two brothers, put them in a closet. They had no choice, but they talked to one another. From our hometown, two men were brothers who didn't talk for years together. Maybe anymore, it's too long ago. In a closet type of a room, I mean, it was no bigger than a 2x4. And what choice do you have? But if you're in a little room, but talk to the person if you don't want to go crazy altogether. We had one Nazi in our town who would say, Jews are small, but a very mean kind of a people. And sometimes he was right too. What are the first signs you felt that something was wrong? Have to realize we lived in a small town. There were all kinds of things. One time, where we lived, there was a baseball field or whatever, soccer field across the street from us. And I never felt any difference than anybody else, and I was watching this game. And I think I've never been the same since. They hit me with a ball, and that soccer ball came towards me. I saw the sparks flying, and I would say it was done purposely. I never went back there again. Yeah, I had a bad temper too at one time. It was winter time, and mother had sent me for milk. And sugar, I think it was. And I'm on my bicycle, and I had this pint of milk in my hand, and I was riding the bicycle, and a snowball or an ice ball came flying towards me, and I took that bottle of milk and I threw it at the guy. Didn't help me, and didn't help us having any milk that night either. Was Gaudenheim a Jewish town? No. There were about a dozen families. Matter of fact, there is a book out. I can find out what it is. I read it at Rabbi Kegner's house. He showed it to me one day. The uncle Joseph is mentioned in it as a representative of the Jewish community. Why, I don't know. It was no different than anybody else, but his name is mentioned. What changes came to the way the family was treated? We were treated with respect, even myself, and I only was a kid. Even the big Nazis never moved from one street to the other. If they passed my window and I looked out, there was always hello. Didn't mean anything, but respect was always shown to us. Until the day came, as I mentioned at the beginning, and everything changed. Was Opa's job affected? Unfortunately, we were not one of the most wealthiest people in the town. In fact, we were pretty poor. Why did Uncle Al leave early? He was lucky. He visited Aunt Clemmie, who had a visitor from America, Her brother-in-law was there. They talked. And the following week, he went with Al to the consulate. All he needed to do was show his papers. And he came home and he said, "Mom, I'm leaving." Why didn't everybody leave? Well, not everybody was that lucky.
These are notes from Oma, Toni Katzenstein, the notes she kept from her traveling to the New World. The year was 1940. The waterways over the Atlantic were closed. The only way to get out of Germany was over Russia, Japan. We left Berlin in the evening on a Tuesday night, June 7, 1940. The train station was very dark and crowded. We were lucky to get a seat on the train. Wednesday morning, we arrived in Königsberg. Königsberg is the highest point in Germany. There, a man from the Jewish organization waited for us and brought us to the airport. It was very interesting to see all the airplanes, large and small. This was all new to us. The most interesting thing, the flight to Moscow. Like a bird carried high in the sky. Such a wonderful feeling. I cannot describe. You have to experience this. The plane had two seats on one side, one seat on the other side. Very nice upholstered. The bad part was our Irmgard had to travel on a different plane, and we worried, will we see each other again? We had to go down twice, and Irmgard always was there to say hello. Irmgard left a half an hour earlier and was on the airport in Moscow. It was a happy reunion. We left Königsberg at 12 o'clock and were in Moscow at 7 o'clock. The trip did not agree with me. I was feeding the birds. The last hour was fine. Opa and Oma had no problems. Opa and Irmgard had no problems. We arrived in Moscow. We had to go through custom and all the usual troubles. It was 9 o'clock in the evening. The time is 1 hour advanced ahead from Germany. We were warmly received and taken care of, first class. We were taken with an elegant car to a nice hotel, very clean rooms, two beds, one kitchen, running water. First we washed ourselves from head to toe. Then we went for dinner. I cannot describe all the food what was served. The people are warm and loving. It was just like in a storybook. Thursday morning breakfast. Real coffee, white bread, each 2 eggs and dessert. Irmgard went on a round trip to see Moscow, which was very interesting, especially the subway. The people mostly working class, poorly dressed, not to compare with Germans. The land is heavily populated. Thursday we left Moscow at 12 o'clock. We were on the world famous Siberian Express. Very rough. We had two wooden seats, but you get used to it. We had good company. People who had second class tickets liked our company better. Russia is a big country. On the way to Siberia we went through desert country. Black curtains were always closed. We could not look out. This is where they have their military installation. Siberia, we really expected a worse country. On the 8th day of August, we came to Manchukuo. On Saturday, we arrived in Harbin. The Jewish committee took wonderful care of us. We were 78 persons. We left Harbin 10:15 in the evening. We had 2 hours on the train station. It was quite an experience. Very hard. We suffered terrible. And the station women and children offered flowers. It was carnival time. We got to Fushan at 11 o'clock. This is already Japan. We have flown for 10 hours into Manchukuo. The Jewish committee took wonderful care of us. After 78 hours train ride, we went back on a boat ride for 9 hours till Shimonski. The ride on the ship was wonderful. Irmgard was not feeling so good. The ship traveled very quiet and the landing was very interesting and wonderful. This was a foretaste for our big trip overseas, but it came altogether different. Shimonski in the Japanese port. Shimonski is a Japanese port. We had to go through customs again. It took a long time. Then we traveled 36 hours express to Kobe. We were completely worn out, ready to collapse. 3 nights no sleep and the climate very different. We were assigned to a house and had to sleep on mats. The committee, Jews from Russia, took good care of us. First we had tea and butter bread, later we went to the hotel for dinner. Then came our big disappointment. Our visa was expired. We had to get new papers from America, and it took us 3 months to get it over with. In the meantime, we made the best of it. Oma was a cook, Irmgard and Opa the sharpers and helpers. This too went by, and we arrived in Chicago Thanksgiving Day. And Clemmy had a wonderful dinner, our first Thanksgiving dinner. Then we went home, a 3.5-room apartment, home at last.
Okay, that's all.
Okay, then I will
come, that's all.
Now,
just a few little notes from Oma. Our dear Alfred, our oldest, leaving June 4th, 1934. Our dear Hans, leaving September 23rd, 1934. Going first to Baden-Baden on the 28th and on the boat in Trieste to Palestine. Our dear Ruth left the 19th of April to Freiburg and the 21st of April on the boat in Le Havre. God be good to our children. Oma. Just a few little notes from Oma's first shopping experience in Chicago, 1940-1941. On Monday, she had a veal roast. The whole veal roast cost 46 cents. The potatoes were 36 cents. The lettuce, 9 cents. The next day she had beef stew, was 46 cents. Lettuce, 8 cents. Potatoes, 15 cents. Milk, 12 cents. And a dozen eggs, 19 cents. Fruit was 27 cents, whatever she bought. That's all.
You were going to tell me a story from...
I was there, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, whatever you remember from it, from your grandparents.
There was a black market, and they had some meat, which they were not supposed to have. They had a butcher shop. And where would they put it? They put it in the baby buggy and put me, the baby Ruth, on top of it. Nobody found it.
Why weren't they supposed to have a meat?
Probably because of, no.
It was black market.
During World War I.
It shortage, yeah.
So he had the butcher shop, but he wasn't allowed to use the meat personally?
I guess. Judy, I don't know those things.
Yeah. So
that's only the story what they told us, what got stuck.
All right. So your grandparents had a butcher shop in Gau Odernheim. And then when Opa came back from the war, he didn't want to compete with his father-in-law.
He had nothing to do with it. Uncle Joseph was in the business. There was not
so
much.
Uncle Joseph got the business from his father. Okay, yeah, you told me that before.
You did the best you could.
So that's when they opened the yard goods store?
The yard goods store and a little, what do you call it, Viehhandel. Cattle business and a little bit of everything just to make a living. Honey, I can't. I'm tired.
Okay.